of me. But their broken dreams have got to end.
Good morning, 740 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. No, it doesn't mean we're not having Mayor Reeves. We're just all doing a bunch of things here in the studio, and we didn't get the right one for that, but no worries. We have Mayor of Pensacola, D.C. Reeves, is on the line with us this morning. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate it.
Didn't mean to confuse you with the music. It was unintentional, I promise you.
So, we'll see how this interview goes. Maybe we'll make it a permanent switch.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Hey, let's start with this. This is maybe it's a dumb question, but I always believe in asking the dumb question. I know you talked about paving the grass lot on Tippin to improve parking capacity at the airport, which is already ahead of 2035 projections. So all of that I followed yesterday from a press conference, and I get that you wanted to make sure that doesn't interfere with the vacation holiday traffic of Thanksgiving and Christmas. All good. I'm on board. The only question I had, and my wife actually asked this question, is why is it better to have a paved lot than to have just the grassy knoll? Is there a value to having the paved versus the existing?
Well, as much as I would like to watch you roll your roller bag in the grass and dirt, there are some advantages to having paving. But no, in all seriousness, from a navigation perspective, a safety perspective, I mean, there's many reasons that we would prefer to have it paved. And honestly, I have an update since the press conference. We had a good call internally with the airport and Public Works and engineering. To kind of try to work through that, because as you heard me say, the worst case scenario is to start on improving 400 spaces, and that takes away 400 spaces for the holidays. We've come up with a plan. We've actually got a contingency lot just to the north of that on some of the property we've acquired, that, and we're also going to put in, because of our urgency and why that we know it's important to our citizens, we're going to put in actually an incentive into the bid. That if you finish by November 15th, that we're going to actually financially incentivize a speedy delivery. So if we get the speedy delivery, great. If it's imminent that it will not happen, then we've got a contingency plan. So we're going to kind of make a call in October about where we stand, and if we can get it done, you know, and I consider done dry pavement and white parking stripe.
Right.
You know, we may not have every blade of grass planted or anything like that by then, but nonetheless. We're moving forward the best we can, and we've got a backup plan if it doesn't work out.
Very good. That makes perfect sense. There was an opinion piece in the PNJ the other day, and it talked about what the writer claimed were the low wages at ST Aerospace Engineering at the, you know, we're now getting ready to break ground on hangar number 3 on the west side of the northwest side of the airport. I don't feel like I know the truth of it, but I have heard this allegation that in the industry, maybe ST doesn't pay as well enough to get the people coming to work for them that they've always envisioned. Do you know anything? Can you shed any light on this?
Yeah, you know, obviously I was made aware of it. And I'm certain of that ST would have a different perspective on that. And really either perspective is I'm not really probably the person to be able to say one way or the other. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, I can't verify what a letter to the editors, if the income is correct or not. Not that I'm questioning, that person's research. I just am saying, I would not want to speculate as to what that wage is and what ST considers their wage to be.
Right.
For example, some of the jobs that they offer are starting jobs that include tuition assistance and training to get you to a higher paying job. Are we looking at that, or are we looking at something that doesn't include that? That's what we don't know. But here's the bottom line. I'm a big believer in letting the market dictate what pay should be. And I think I've put my money where my mouth is in terms of upping the pay as a larger scale than ever at the city, because we have to be competitive. At the end of the day, yes, of course, we want any economic development project to pay as much as possible. We do need to raise the wage index, and I'm trying at the city of Pensacola to set the example for that, to get us from being in the 20th percentile pay at the city and moving us into a much better place. So I don't think SC Engineering does $9 billion a year in revenue on the idea that they're going to pay a wage where everyone else in their market is paying $20,000 or $30,000 more. There's probably a little more to that story, because if that were the case, they wouldn't be finding anybody to take this position. So, I certainly, we have a lot invested in this project, and we continue to invest a lot of time, heart, and energy into ST, and it's our biggest, it's the biggest economic development project we have in our region. So if there's anything that we can raise any wages anywhere, we should want to help support that. But at the end of the day, I would want to learn a little more before I speculated as to the subjectivity that could be, that could lie within what quote unquote starting pay is, and how all that works.
And I think, you know, that's actually the only reason I would inject myself into it, is precisely because we've got so much public money invested in this that, you know, it seems
absolutely
like there's a little bit more of an expected trade-off in good quality wages. And if that's not the case, then, you know, we do kind of have a right to know, because so much money has been put into, you know, making that job opportunity and, you know, underwriting all of that investment. Obviously, the big announcement yesterday was that starting tomorrow, PPD, off-duty officers are going to be working through the funding mechanism of Downtown Improvement Board taxes to basically enforce the law against extra loud aftermarket mufflers and also loud stereos in the downtown area. This makes all the sense to me in the world, especially because we've been trying to like find a way to do this for years and years. And now all of a sudden DIB is like, well, we can pay for it because it's our area. We can do this, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's why we're really, it's a joint effort. And because as you know, Andrew, we've got a lot of ground to cover in terms of public safety in the city, and we have investigations and violent crimes. We've got all these things that we have to do. So DIB stepping up to help us with bandwidth that we wouldn't otherwise be able to provide certainly is a great catalyst, and we appreciate them for that. But and you heard me yesterday. I want to be clear: these are statutes that are already on the books. This is not something we've created. This is not something new. This is something that is, as you just said, let's use jaywalking as the most extreme example. It's on the books, but it's pretty hard to enforce. And is it worth the bandwidth? This now gives us an opportunity as our downtown continues to grow. And no one comes to our downtown or says, you know what, we ought to fly to Pensacola so we can hear loud aftermarket mufflers between buildings and powerhouse. No one says that. So, and that's visitors and that's residents. That's not just people coming into our community. I think this is an appropriate time to focus on this and have this initiative, and then we'll see how it goes. We'll see what happens from here. But as I said, I know it, because it's new, people sometimes think that this means we're creating new rules. These are not new rules. These are state statutes that are crystal clear, black and white, in place. That we can now start to ramp up the enforcement on.
You know, I thought, speaking of jaywalking, which my understanding is that jaywalking, unless you interfere with traffic, is illegal, but just jaywalking is not. But I did appreciate what you said yesterday. You kind of hinted at crosswalks, that if this works for mufflers and loud stereos, maybe at some future time we can look at enhanced enforcement around cars stopping for pedestrians in crosswalks. I've made the note that we also really need to make sure our crosswalks are more visible, because they're not, especially on Main Street, they're kind of faded. But is that kind of what you see down the future, that maybe we would start to use this sort of tactic to enhance awareness of certain violations in order to get compliance across the board with things that people should already be doing?
Absolutely. And I 100% agree with you on both counts. I think some of our crosswalks need some definite improvement and will be getting some improvement depending on where they are. But, I put it pretty bluntly yesterday, and I will today on the radio, is we're not real good at crosswalks here. We're not real good at stopping at crosswalks, at pedestrian safety. I think we start at the standard of the vehicle rules the road. It's almost cultural. You know, it depends on what city you go to or what part of the country you go to or what other country you go to, where the general feeling in that community is different. I'm not saying it will go from 1 to 10, but I'd love to see us as a community get a little more cognizant, a little more aware of these crosswalks. And that's everywhere. That's not just within the city limits. That's at the beach. That's everywhere else. Where we need it, you know, that pedestrians are part of transportation as well, using your feet and making sure that that's safe as possible.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I've been to or lived in other places where everybody knows you stop for the pedestrian in the crosswalk, and here it's kind of like, eh, maybe,
right.
You know, maybe we'll see, flip a coin, yeah. You know, and
optional.
And we need, if we're going to be a more walkable, bikeable, pedestrian-friendly community, that has to change. I mean, it just does. And so I actually support efforts in that direction. I appreciate that note from yesterday. The lightning round, we always like to end with the lightning round. First question for you. Do you keep old license plates in your, say, garage, collection, wherever?
No. No, I don't.
You throw them out?
I've had the same one for a long time. I just keep putting the sticker on top of, I get a nice thick collection of my registration sticker on my
license plate. You know, Florida's weird. You have to get a new plate fairly frequently because they fade so badly in Florida. So, I know when you get to
that point. Did I incriminate myself?
No, I hope not. I mean, Scott Lunsford is definitely a listener, but, you know, we'll take note. Tell me a food you like better as a leftover.
Ooh, man. Probably none. There's tolerable. How about cold pizza? I wouldn't say better. I mean, that's strong, but I think cold pizza is pretty close up there with regular.
It's a different kind of food, really. Cold pizza is for sure.
Yeah.
All right. And this is, you know, I often feel like these are make or break moments for our relationship. This is about to be one.
Yeah.
You can side with me or side with my wife. You can't side with us both on this. When you're using, when you're getting mayonnaise or Miracle Whip for your sandwich, are you using a spoon or are you using a knife?
Well, I'm going to pick option C, which is mayonnaise is gross and I don't eat it. So, I side with neither of you.
That's the most politician-y dodge you've ever made. So that's your one. You get one with me.
I don't eat it. I use neither a spoon nor a knife.
All right, fair enough. D.C. Reeves, he is the mayor of Pensacola. Always appreciate talking to you, sir. We'll look forward to the city council meeting and the prep meeting next week and talking to you in a week. Thank you for the time this morning, sir. We'll talk to you in a week.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.